Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here, safely ensconced in a remote bunker for the remobile Right Side studio. But man, we still got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to take you all the way to the weekend. And, you know, earlier in the show, if you heard my monologue, today, knowing the AG was coming on, I was somewhat inspired. My monologue was called Fortress Alabama. The very idea that we as a state can have a 10th Amendment wall built around our state. And I don't mean like we isolate, we don't want to participate. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the overreaches we see from D.C. are sometimes best left to the 10th Amendment, the people of the state of Alabama, the politicians that we elect, including the attorney general, to fight fights for us so that we have a fortress within which we can feel secure and safe from the overreach from feds. Anyway, that being said, on the line with us right now is Attorney General Steve Marshall, who is ably serving the state of Alabama. He's previously been a prosecutor for 16 years as a district attorney in Marshall County, law school at Alabama. And doing a great job fighting fights on both the state and national level. Attorney General Steve Marshall, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, I like the fact that me coming on inspired you to talk about the 10th Amendment, right? I mean, the idea that we get to protect Alabama's sovereignty and that we believe that what the framers decided about limited powers within the federal government and allowing the states to be able to operate kind of as that true bastion of what government should be about. And yet this administration doesn't always want to allow us to do that.
No, it doesn't. And I tell you what I've enjoyed, though, is watching you and other Republican attorneys general go at it. Because I think a lot of people think that your job is to just prosecute crime here in the state. Make sure that, you know, fraud doesn't happen and, you know, that gambling is shut down, all of which is important. Or that settlements are negotiated on behalf of the state. But you're actually out there picking fights on behalf of the state to make sure that things don't get here sometimes to protect our interests, correct?
No, it is. And in fact, you know, I mean, Phil, it's hard to believe I've been in this job almost 8 years now. So, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, we describe it as practicing law because we're better at it over time. And I think, you know, the thing that I've appreciated the most about being in this role is truly the opportunity to have an influence in ways that I didn't really probably appreciate or even understand when I got here. But there's no doubt, you know, when I came in the door back in February of 2017, did I somehow or other think that I'd be fighting over who's a boy and who's a girl? I mean, you know, it's like I thought that was pretty settled and never believed that we'd be able to do that. And it's unique. And I'm going to have to go back and listen to your monologue. But one of the things that I think is an important point for us in the state, and when we look at the way that we conduct state government, is that 10th Amendment is a wonderful tool for us to be able to use to be able to push back against federal overreach. But here's the federal government's key to unlock that door, is that when they have the power of the purse string, and they're giving money to the states, you then become obligated to some extent to implement the rules that they have with regards to the use of that money. It's how we got into the national COVID vaccine fight. You know, they used federal contractors as the linchpin to be able to do it. They used the ability of OSHA to regulate certain workplaces to be able to do it. And now we're seeing, particularly with Title IX, but there's other areas as well, the effort to push this radical gender ideology is tied to federal money that's coming in. And, you know, people, you know, remember the conservative commentator William Buckley well. Yeah, they don't always think about his brother James, who was a federal judge who wrote a book. And one of the things that in Judge Buckley's book is he said that by accepting federal money, we allow Congress to dabble in areas that the Constitution otherwise prohibits. And I think that's something for our legislators in Montgomery and for our administrative heads to always remember, is that there is no such thing as free money from Washington, and we have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, my daughter, and I think you've met her, my daughter did an internship way before I was ever on the staff at the Alabama Policy Institute. She was actually an intern there, and she did an entire project where she tracked every federal dollar that could be tracked that came into the state of Alabama, and the notebook she had to keep it all in was about 8 inches thick. I mean, it was huge. People have no idea how much money comes in from the Fed.
Yeah, you know, when you take, for example, one of the fights that we've had around gender ideology recently was, you know, the Department of Agriculture administers the school lunch program so that we want to make sure that if there are kids that need appropriate nutrition that for financial reasons aren't able to afford meals at school, that they're going to have an opportunity to be able to do it. And so what we saw, and this has been a little over a year ago now, is the Department of Ag wanted to change the regulations that came tied with that money to change the definition of sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation. You know, very different than what we've seen historically, very different than what Alabama law would specifically provide and would have opened Pandora's box. And it wasn't, by the way, saying that you can't discriminate against a child if they claim to be transgender. Nobody was doing that. We were feeding kids. Every state was going to feed kids. This was broadening for the plaintiff's bar and others to use this as a discrimination action against school systems and other institutions consistent with what Washington wanted. And we pushed back along with some other states, and the Department of Agriculture retracted that rule, but yet it's still part of this sort of whole-of-government approach of the Biden administration to use everything at their disposal and their power to enforce their own ideology. And by the way, did you not find it absolutely comical, and I don't even know the speaker's name at the Democratic National Convention, who was accusing Trump if he came into office that he would weaponize the DOJ against his political opponents?
I did. Yes.
Sure sounded pretty familiar to me, right? I mean, it's like, holy cow, you really want to bring that up?
Yeah, pot, meat, kettle, please.
Absolutely.
By the way, I hadn't even thought about this until just now, but it occurs to me, here I am talking to the AG for Alabama, but the person who is running on the Democrat ticket now to be president was a former attorney general herself. And I imagine she had a much different view of the world and of how to handle the job of AG from California, Kamala Harris.
Oh, there is no doubt. You know, she and I just missed each other as far as overlapping, although the head of Health and Human Services, Avi Rosera, was the AG when I was there. And let's just say that I did not necessarily sing from the same hymnal. I will tell you that.
Well, listen, before we run out of time, I want to talk about a couple of victories, one outside the state and one inside. You've been real involved in the fight to preserve Title IX. You referenced it a moment ago. And we just had a major court decision that came out, I think it was Fifth Circuit, just in the last few days. And I had a question for you on that. Is Alabama included, or is that state specific as to that the plaintiff states in the case? What do you know about that?
Well, the good thing is that we are, we've won within the 11th Circuit to get an administrative stay that has held this new Title IX rule in abeyance. And again, for your listeners, this would change the definition of sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation, which means opens the door of the female locker rooms to men, would change the law that Alabama passed that said boys compete against boys and girls compete against girls. But also it would extend a certain First Amendment protection so that they could argue that if, for example, a teacher or the administrator had a tweet in which they were endorsing Christian principles about what creation truly means and gender being what God created you as, that could become an argument to be able to use Title IX against them. And so, you know, we pushed back, 26 states have pushed back, and right now every one of those states has prevailed. In fact, it was a U.S. Supreme Court case that came out last week that maintained the injunctions in place in those circuits. But Phil, one of the interesting things here, and not to get too nerdy on the law that you and I could do as lawyers, but you've also had nonprofits participate in those cases, including Moms for Liberty, for example. And
yes,
so by them being a plaintiff in a case out of Kansas, they've been able to obtain relief for many institutions in blue states, because one of the things the courts have said is if you've got a Moms for Liberty chapter or two other organizations that are also plaintiffs in those states, that those institutions likewise are not going to be able to implement the unlawful Biden rule. And I think that's actually been a really interesting development, that not just Republican attorneys general here, but also to have conservative groups that have been able to have an impact. You know, the Dems have been using that playbook for a while. We've been able to use it here effectively. And I commend, again, you know, we've got Moms for Liberty chapters in Alabama because that's been a nice tool. So I think it's over 2,000 institutions across the country are just impacted in a positive way from them alone. But look, we've got still a ways to go in the fight, but we're proud of the fact that courts have acknowledged that the Biden administration has simply gone too far, because I can guarantee you, when this bill passed with bipartisan support in 1972 to create greater opportunities educationally for women, nobody believed that there was anything other than a male and a female, as God created you, is what your sex was.
Yeah.
And nobody believed that that was a bill passed to be able to open up locker rooms and sports to those who suddenly identified with the other gender.
Yeah, suddenly legislative intent gets called in, doesn't it? I mean, 1972, they didn't even...
This thought was not
on anybody's mind.
Look, it wasn't even discussed because nobody believed that to be the case.
Well, and I to reference your point about Moms for Liberty, you talk about a recruiting drive. I mean, they just opened the door for basically a greatest recruiting drive, you know, in the history of the recruiting drive world.
Yeah, I think they have expanded their presence all over the country, for sure.
Hey, listen, Mr. Attorney General, if you don't mind, what I'd love to do is if would you mind holding through a break? I want to come back and talk to you about the most recent bust of some illegal facilities down in Selma and get that on the record, too, if you don't mind.
Yeah, happy to hang around.
Okay, we're going to hang on. We're going to go to a break. Big Rig, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We're with Attorney General Steve Marshall, the capable Attorney General for the state of Alabama. But we will take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. Hey, listen, we're going right back to the phones. Attorney General Steve Marshall has been on with us. Mr. Attorney General, I want to turn to the enter of the state, like right things that are happening here, because you do actually bust bad guys. You guys has had a press release came out, caught my attention with all the news about gaming in the last year or so with the busting of five facilities down in the Selma, Dallas County area. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, local complaints about the opening of facilities that just simply had what everybody would recognize as slot machines, which is clearly illegal in the state of Alabama. There's no doubt about that. And involved an investigation along with the local sheriff's department, and sheriff there did a great job in being able to assist. And so earlier this week, we shut down six separate facilities, over 200 machines that were located there, a couple of arrests. You know, it won't surprise you that one of the people leading one of those groups was a prior convicted felon who also went to jail that day. And so we will have hearings next week to be able to get the permanent orders to be able to close those facilities. But, you know, I feel like it goes back again to this idea, you know, we're there to be able to assist and to be able to help. But when local individuals or local law enforcement is able to act and act aggressively, you know, we're able to shut these things down. And so we were very grateful for the assistance of the local sheriff and being able to do that. Aaliyah provided support for us as well to be able to conduct the operation. But this is just one that we've been involved with many, and actually still engaged in litigation in multiple places across the state.
Well, and so I'm going to say something. You can choose to chime in on it if you so desire. But, you know, one of the arguments being made last year about gaming was it's happening illegally, so we got to legalize it so that we can do something about it. And my argument has been, how about if we just enforce the existing laws that are already on the books? If it's illegal, it's still illegal. You just proved that illegal gaming can be dealt with directly with both state and local law enforcement.
It can. And Phil, one thing that I would tell you the legislature can do, and I think you and I both would welcome, let's make it a felony. Because right now, you have some that just believe, gosh, it's a misdemeanor, it's just the cost of doing business.
Let's make it
a felony offense so that we have the ability to create a disincentive for doing it. And I can give you multiple examples where we've had those that were a part of this illegal activity simply say, look, you know, we didn't think the punishment was something that deterred us from being able to do it. We welcome the legislature weighing in to be able to provide that additional tool to establish that, in fact, these are serious and significant violations of not only the law of Alabama, but of the policy of our state, and then allow people to be able to do their job. So welcome them being able to do that.
Well, and y'all just seized 200 machines. I mean, this is not a small operation. This is a series of organizations, and maybe they're interlocked. I don't know. But 200 machines is not like you got a couple in the back room of the convenience store. This is a major effort to violate Alabama's laws willfully, and it's a misdemeanor. That just boggles my mind.
No, it is. You know, interestingly, we were in another county not far from there recently working an operation. And what was interesting about that is that one of the places that we seized machines from, we had one of the operators tell us about how a local mother had come in there, complained about what was going on, because she said, hey, we got child support that ought to be going to kids that are going into those machines. You need to take them out. That's some of the things that you and I have talked about previously why this is such a bad thing.
Yeah. Hey, listen, with about a minute and a half left before we run out of time, I wanted to point out something I saw in your bio, and you and I may have talked about this in the past, but you were instrumental as a very pro-life district attorney and now attorney general. You were instrumental in what is known as the Brody Act, which came out of your county, Marshall County, which now basically makes a double homicide out of the murder of a pregnant woman. It protects the life in the womb by making it a murder to murder the woman who was pregnant at the time. And I wanted you to know that the family of the young lady that was all a part of and named after were actually my clients, and I dealt with their civil stuff while you dealt with it from the Brody Act side. So I really, really appreciate
Roger Parker
your role in that.
Yeah, Roger was such a powerful advocate on behalf of Brody. He lost, and then obviously his sweet daughter. And, you know, to the extent that we embrace Romans 8:28, right, from the worst, we know that God can create good. Roger was able to create a legacy for them because of the frustration that he had and others had that would have only been one murder and not two. And we both know that it was there. So wonderful family, again, grieve for their loss, but they were powerful advocates in changing law the right way.
They were. And I'm glad you were in the position to do something about it. And then I think you even actually defended it. Once you became AG, the law you helped get passed, you got to go defend before the Supreme Court. Am I right?
Oh, actually, I tried the first case, put a guy on death row for killing his pregnant wife, and then went to the Supreme Court to defend the law. So I've been with it from the duration, and so we were glad to be able to get vindicated there. So that was good. Hey, by the way, I'm looking forward to being up in studio. I think we're going to be there sometime in October, so it'd be good to be back up your
way
a little
bit. We'll make it happen. All right, Mr. Attorney General, thanks for your time today. Appreciate you staying long with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, listen, that was Alabama's Attorney General, and I hope you gathered that was a broad-ranging. He is all for the idea of Alabama being the fortress that I talked about, using that 10th Amendment. He's like, basically, he grabbed hold of that. But then on top of that, you got the fact that he's a pro-life advocate. He's been out there fighting crime in the state. I mean, so end result is, me personally, I'm pretty satisfied with where our Attorney General's office is right now. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.